Okay, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Tim in the Morning Show, broadcasting live out of the Creston Valley, 7:30 till 9 Pacific time. And kind of an odd-looking morning today. We seem pretty socked in. Overcast as far as the eye can see. 16 degrees, and the winds are out of the east, southeast, at 6 kilometers an hour. They're calling for a 40% chance of showers this morning. Showers with a few thunder showers beginning this morning, and a risk of thunderstorm this morning, about 5 to 10 mils. So far, no rain at all, but it definitely looks pretty threatening out there. Showers and thunderstorms overnight, as we had last night. We went down to 13 overnight. Saturday, we got a chance of showers with about a 60% chance, and highs of 21. Oh, highs of 20 or 19 today. Sunday, high of 20 with a 40% chance of showers. And then we got the sunshine coming back next week, starting Monday with a high of 24, Tuesday 27, Wednesday 28, as well as Thursday. Well, thanks a lot, everyone, for tuning in. I have no idea what I want to start the show off with today here. Picked out a few songs, but what's a good opener? Maybe I'll just kind of kick back a little bit. Heard it in a love song, the Marshall Tucker Band, right here on South Kootenai Radio.
listening to South Kootenai Radio.
Tuna there with 99 Year Blues. That's from the Burgers album of 1972, one of my favorite albums of all time. And of course, you're probably wondering what the heck is going on. It's a Friday, and listen to this mellow stuff he's playing. Well, you know, we got to mix it up occasionally. And besides, I'm just on my first coffee. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'll pump it up a notch. Right here after this day in Canadian history. How's that sound? September the 6th. Our first story is out of Montreal and from the year 1952. And CBFT in Montreal, part of CBC French Network Radio Canada, starts transmitting with a broadcast of Jean Cocteau's drama Oedipus Rex. Canada's first television station. And English language. Yeah. See, I told you it was the first coffee. English language, CBLT in Toronto, will start operations 2 days later. Both stations start with 18 hours of programming a week. Wow. Pretty heavy schedule. Probably isn't going to be much channel surfing back in 52. All right, now let's skip all the way ahead to 1990, and that's when Bob Rae wins the Ontario election for the NDP, takes 74 seats to 76 for David Peterson's Liberals, 20 for Mike Harris's PCs, wins only 37.6% of the popular vote. Says maybe a summer election won't be a bad idea after all. Peterson, threatened by scandal, called the election only 3 years into his term. Rae is the first new Democratic premier of Ontario, and of course drove that province deeply in debt. Yeah. Don't get me started. All right, what else do we got? A bunch of birthdays here. Alexander Tildock Galt, a politician promoter born on this day at London, England in 1817. The son of Canada Company promoter John Galt, died in Montreal September 19th, 1893. And Galt began his career working for the British American Land Company, settling Quebec's eastern townships. He got involved in railway development, then politics, serving as finance minister, bringing up his nationalistic Galt tariff in 1859. It'd be nice if they explained what that was, but oh well. He supported Confederation at the Quebec and London conferences, but resigned from cabinet in 1866 when he failed to get educational guarantees for Quebec Protestants put into the BNA Act. He was Canada's prime minister, he was Canada's first minister of finance, but again resigned after the failure of the Commercial Bank in Kingston. Sounds like old Alexander had a bit of a tough go. Yeah. George Herrick Dugan, civil engineer, boat designer, yachtsman, born on this day in Montreal in 1862, died October the 8th, 1946. Dugan designed and built a total of 142 racing yachts. In 1896, sailed from the Royal St. Lawrence Yacht Club of Montreal. He skippered his Glencairn 1 to victory over the Americas in the Siwanhaka Cup. Wow. Where do they come up with some of these names? A small yacht alternative to the American Cup. Oh, there you go. Why didn't they just call it America's Cup Junior or something? And defended the cup for the next 8 years. What else do we have here? W.A.C. Bennett, merchant, B.C. premier, born on this day at Hastings, New Brunswick in 1900, died in Kelowna, B.C., February the 23rd, 1979. Bennett began his career building up a family hardware business in Kelowna. He was elected to the B.C. legislature as a conservative in 1941, but crossed the floor to the Social Credit Party in 1952 and led them to electoral victory July 1952. Premier of B.C. for the next 20 years. Bennett promoted hydropower, extended the Pacific Great Eastern Railway northward, and created B.C. Ferries in 1958. He resigned in August 1972 after his defeat of Dave Barrett's NDP. And what else do we have here? Angela Chalmers, a sprinter born on this day in Shiloh, Manitoba, in 1963. In 1996, Chalmers broke the Canadian record for the 5,000 meters in a time of 1509.35. And, oh, yeah, you guys, a couple of you older people out there might remember this. In 1996, Consumers Distributing is virtually bankrupt. Yeah, and they ended up closing the doors and shutting her down. What else do we have here? There it is. In 1989 in Los Angeles, California. Oh, Toronto rocker Neil Young wins MTV's Best Video Award with This Note's For You, which the channel initially refused to air because it mocked commercials. Oh, yeah. I'd play that song, but I know I've already got it queued up for this day in rock history. Let's see how many songs we have for today's rock history. Yeah, I think I want to wait. We'll play it during rock history. How's that sound? All right, it is time to dig deep into the bin here, pull out some James Gang, the Rides Again album from 1970. Got a song here called Woman, right here on South Kootenai Radio.
Oh, should do a fourth bunny.
You're listening to the South Kootenai radio station here in the Crescent Valley.
Jimmy Vaughn there with the Flamenco Dancer from his 1994 release, Strange Pleasure. All right, I see the news crew has made an appearance, so we better let them have their 4 minutes 30 seconds and give us a bit of an update, and we'll be back on the second half hour with some more great music.
It is September 6th, and this is CBC News. I'm Joe Cummings. The latest employment figures are out today, and they show the Canadian economy added a significant number of new jobs last month. Here's a CBC's Steve Niles
Statistics Canada says the Canadian economy added more than 59,000 jobs in August. Many of the job gains were part-time positions, and there was also an increase in the less stable self-employed workforce. However, the job gains were nearly triple what economists predicted and were enough to send the loonie up by a penny. The unemployment rate also ticked down one notch to 7.1%. Meanwhile, the U.S. Department of Labor says its economy added 169,000 jobs in August, enough to lower their unemployment rate as well. Unfortunately, the decline came for the wrong reason, as even more Americans gave up their search for work. Stock markets rose on the report, though. Investors see the results as a sign the U.S. Central Bank won't cut stimulus as quickly as they had feared. Steve Niles, CBC News, Toronto.
The G20 summit has come to a close in Russia, with U.S. President Obama sitting down for a brief, unscheduled meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Russian officials say the talk lasted about 20 minutes, and the two leaders discussed the crisis in Syria. Obama insists that the Syrian government has been involved in chemical warfare and is pushing for a U.S.-led military response. However, Putin says there's no firm evidence that the Assad regime has used chemical weapons, and he's opposed to any action that doesn't involve the United Nations. In his closing comments today at the G20, Putin says he's concerned about the ongoing war in Syria and its potential impact on the global economy. Meanwhile, the United States is ordering its diplomats to leave Beirut and Adana, Turkey. The diplomatic missions are located near the border with Syria. The State Department is also urging U.S. citizens to avoid traveling to Lebanon. There are concerns that Americans in the region could become targets if Syria is attacked. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Harper has announced that Canada is sending an additional $45 million in relief funding to help the growing number of Syrian refugees. This is on top of the $200 million Ottawa made available back in January. The new aid announcement came shortly after Foreign Affairs Minister John Baird met with British Prime Minister David Cameron and United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. More damning information is out today on how the U.S. and British governments are monitoring private internet traffic. It comes from classified government documents leaked to the New York Times and the Guardian newspaper. They come from former U.S. intelligence contractor Edward Snowden. In London, here's the CBC's Anne McMillan.
Apparently, this has been going on for the past 10 years. According to the documents, a battery of methods have been used in the attempt to gain access to internet traffic. Among methods are supercomputers that break encryption with what's described as brute force. Also, covert methods to gain control over the setting of international encryption standards. And perhaps most disturbingly of all, working with technology companies and internet service providers, building so-called backdoors into software, which gives the government access to information before it's encrypted and sent over the internet. The agencies involved insist all these measures are necessary in foreign intelligence gathering and covert activity.
That's the CBC's Anne McMillan. Students, faculty, and alumni at the University of Denver are organizing a protest next week to coincide with the university honoring former U.S. President George W. Bush. Bush will be given a humanitarian award for his service as president and his ongoing charitable efforts in Africa. The protesters are saying their demonstration will focus on the Bush administration's war in Iraq and its use of torture. After a three-year restoration, the Blue Nose 2 is back again in the water. However, there is no fanfare today when the replica of the famed schooner slid back into Lunenburg Harbor. The official relaunch was last September, but the ship had to be hauled back into dry dock then because its $16 million restoration wasn't quite finished. And that is the CBC News. You can download your CBC mobile news app at cbcnews.ca.
Wow, $16 million retrofit there, eh? Anyways, welcome back, everybody, to the second half hour. Well, the first hour was kind of mellow. I'm just going to crank it up a major notch here. AC/DC, right here on South Kootenai Radio. We'll be right back.
broadcasting from the base of the Skimmerhorn Mountains, South Kootenai Radio.
Okay, there we go. Link Ray bringing us up to this day in rock and roll history. And the date. Oh, it's a big one for one particular guy. That's right, September the 6th. I only have one birthday to report. Roger Waters was born on this day in 1944. Of course, Roger most noted for being the bass player in Pink Floyd, but holy crow, he left there in the 80s. Late 80s, I believe, 89 perhaps, and went off to a very successful solo career. All right, the useless trivia throughout the years on September the 6th. We're going to start in 1968, and that's when Eric Clapton records the guitar solo for the Beatles, "While My Guitar Gently Weeps," becoming the first non-Beatle to appear on one of their recordings. George Harrison later said that Clapton's presence had another effect on the band. It made them all try a bit harder. They were all on their best behavior. Way to go, George, for lining that up. All right, what else do we have here? 1969, Bob Dylan's Lay Lady Lay peaks at number 7 on the Billboard singles chart, departing from his usual high-pitched nasal style. Dylan's low-key vocal also pushed the song to number 5 in the UK. 1970, Jimi Hendrix makes a last major concert appearance at the Love and Peace Festival in Germany. 1975, Glenn Campbell topped the Billboard pop chart with Rhinestone Cowboy, selling over 4 million copies in the process. The record gained 3 Grammy nominations and the Country Music Association Song of the Year for 1976. 1980, Upside Down by Diana Ross goes to number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100, where it will stay for 4 weeks, becoming her biggest solo hit. And here we go, is what we heard in this day in Canadian history. 1989, Neil Young's This Note for You became the best video of the year at the 6th annual MTV Rock Video Awards. The video had initially been banned by the music video station because it mentioned corporate sponsors by name. This Bud's for You, for example. 1990, 48-year-old Tom Fogerty of Creedence Clearwater Revival dies of respiratory failure. 1994, session pianist Nicky Hopkins passed away. He worked with the Stones, Jeff Beck, the Beatles, the Who, Small Faces, and many others. He was just 50 years old. In 1997, while an estimated 2.5 billion people watched it on television, Elton John sang the reworked version of Candle in the Wind at the funeral of England's Princess Diana. After the song was re-recorded and released as a single, it would become the largest single-selling record in history. Wow. Happy birthday goes out to Roger Waters today. We're going to play something from The Wall.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave them. It's
We'll be right back. you.
Looking to rock. Listen to South Kootenai Radio at 5 o'clock.
Clearwater Revival there, Bad Moon on the Rise, or Bad Moon Rising. Yes, that one, we played that particular tune because 48-year-old Tom Fogerty passed away on this day in 1990. Before that, we had Neil Young, This Note's For You. That one went in all the hardware at the MTV Rock Music Video Awards in 1989. And Bob Dylan there being helped out with the band with his big hit of 1969, Lay Lady Lay, which went all the way to number 7. Beatles, While My Guitar Gently Weeps, Eric Clapton doing the guitar solo on that one. The first non-Beatle to play with the band on any of their records. Of course, later Billy Preston was a regular there. What else did we have? Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall. Happy birthday going out to Roger Waters today. And stay tuned. Monday at about 8:15, we'll have another installment for you of this day in rock and roll history for you. All right, let's have a quick look at the weather around the country here. Let's see. Currently in the Creston Valley, we are sitting at 17 degrees. We're supposed to have a high of only 19 today. It's overcast as heck, but at least it's not raining. They're calling for a 40% chance of showers and possibly thunder showers today. Over on the west coast of Vancouver, it's 16 degrees, mainly sunny. And Calgary is cloudy and 14. Winnipeg, 24 with a mix of sun and cloud. Toronto, 17 and sunny. Halifax, 13 and sunny. And St. John's, Newfoundland has some scattered showers and sunny breaks, sitting at 15 degrees. Okay, what should we play here? I'm thinking maybe some Daddy Warhols. Yeah. Not If You Were the Last Junkie is the name of this song, right here on South Kootenai Radio.
Stronger, the can't stop to reach your soul, to steal your heart away.
Faces with the title track Ooh La La, that album released in 1973, a Ronnie Lane and Ron Wood composition. There you go. All right, it is 8:45. We better get rolling here. It's time for our artist highlight, which is brought to you by Bedazzled, located at 1217 Canyon Street in downtown Creston. And if you're in the market for a new metal detector, you should get down there. They've got lots of different brands and lots of different models. And whatever you're looking for under the sod, they'll have the right metal detector for you. Check it out. All right, artist highlight today. I've decided to pick Michael Jackson because I have a listener in Fredericton that just loves Michael Jackson. And I thought, well, why not give her what she wants, right? Yeah. Not. Yes. It's Roger Waters' birthday today, so we've decided to play some Roger Waters, some Pink Floyd, that sort of thing. Of course, Roger's celebrating a birthday today, and of course, he was born George Roger Waters, an English musician, singer, songwriter, composer. In 1965, he co-founded the progressive rock band Pink Floyd, serving as bass player and co-lead vocalist. Following the departure of bandmate Syd Barrett in 1968, Waters became the band's lyricist, principal songwriter, and conceptual leader. The band subsequently achieved international success with the concept albums Dark Side of the Moon, Wish You Were Here, Animals, The Wall, and The Final Cut. Although Waters' primary instrument in Pink Floyd was the bass guitar, he also experimented with synthesizers and tape loops and played rhythm guitar on recordings and in concerts. Amid creative differences within the band, Rogers left Pink Floyd in 1985 and began a legal dispute with the remaining members over their intended use of the band's name and material. They settled the dispute out of court in 1987, and nearly 18 years had passed before he performed with Pink Floyd again. They have sold more than 250 million albums worldwide, including 74.5 million units sold in the United States as of 2013. Of course, Roger went on for a couple of solo albums there, The Pros and Cons of Hitchhiking, Radio Chaos, and Amused to Death. Yeah. Anyways, let's get rolling here. I have a few tunes I want to play to fill the segment here. We're going to start off with something from the album Metal that came out in 1971 called One of These Days, right here on South Kootenai Radio.
domestically.
Yes, and neither would you, Derek, this star nonsense.
Cheers from the Maritimes! We're listening to South Kootenai Radio on the World Wide Web.
Let go of my butt!
All right, a few songs there featuring Roger Waters. In the Flesh from the Wall, we had Have a Cigar from Wish You Were Here, and One of These Days from the album Metal. Well, that's our artist highlight today, brought to you by Bedazzled, located at 1217 Canyon Street in downtown Creston. Hope you enjoyed that one. In doing my research here for the show, I wasn't quite sure whether to play Dark Side of the Moon for my tunes, because this is the 40th anniversary of that album this year. And maybe I'll feature that one Monday or something. Stay tuned for that. Don't forget, on the weekend, we have a brand new Mountain Jam, which will be airing Saturday at 1 p.m. Pacific, and rebroadcast again Sunday night at 8 p.m. So you can also check it out on the website, theskr.com. You can download past programs of that. Well, that's it for the show today, everyone. We're going to take a short 4-minute, 30-second news break, and we'll be back with some more irregular broadcasting of regular programming. And don't forget about the Hot Chicken and LP show today at noon as well. Check out our program schedule, theskr.com. Have a great weekend, everyone.
It is September 6th, and this is CBC News. I'm Joe Cummings. The latest employment figures are out today, and they show the Canadian economy added a significant number of new jobs last month. Here's a CBC's Steve Niles.
Statistics Canada says the Canadian economy added more than 59,000 jobs in August. Many of the job gains were part-time positions, and there was also an increase in the less stable self-employed workforce. However, the job gains were nearly triple what economists predicted and were enough to send the loonie up by a penny. The unemployment rate also ticked down one notch to 7.1%. Meanwhile, the U.S. Department of Labor says its economy added 169,000 jobs in August, enough to lower their unemployment rate as well. Unfortunately, the decline came for the wrong reason, as even more Americans gave up their search for work. Stock markets rose on the report, though. Investors see the results as a sign the U.S. Central Bank won't cut stimulus as quickly as they had feared. Steve Niles, CBC News, Toronto.
The G20 summit has come to a close in Russia, with U.S. President Obama sitting down for a brief, unscheduled meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Russian officials say the talk lasted about 20 minutes, and the two leaders discussed the crisis in Syria. Obama insists that the Syrian government has been involved in chemical warfare and is pushing for a U.S.-led military response. However, Putin says there's no firm evidence that the Assad regime has used chemical weapons, and he's opposed to any action that doesn't involve the United Nations. In his closing comments today at the G20, Putin says he's concerned about the ongoing war in Syria and its potential impact on the global economy. Meanwhile, the United States is ordering its diplomats to leave Beirut and Adana, Turkey. The diplomatic missions are located near the border with Syria. The State Department is also urging U.S. citizens to avoid traveling to Lebanon. There are concerns that Americans in the region could become targets if Syria is attacked. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Harper has announced that Canada is sending an additional $45 million in relief funding to help the growing number of Syrian refugees. This is on top of the $200 million Ottawa made available back in January. The new aid announcement came shortly after Foreign Affairs Minister John Baird met with British Prime Minister David Cameron and United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. More damning information is out today on how the U.S. and British governments are monitoring private internet traffic. It comes from classified government documents leaked to the New York Times and the Guardian newspaper. They come from former U.S. intelligence contractor Edward Snowden. In London, here's the CBC's Anne McMillan.
Apparently, this has been going on for the past 10 years. According to the documents, a battery of methods have been used in the attempt to gain access to internet traffic. Among methods are supercomputers that break encryption with what's described as